Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. Yes, this is Missing Pages of History. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to enter your homes this evening. Today, our theme of this program, our theme will deal with what dilemmas exist on the presidential front. That's right. What dilemmas is this on the presidential front? We will discuss this and more. Before we have the discussion, there's a couple of house cleaning things we'd like to share with you. We'd like to inform you that Missing Pages of History upcoming fall TV series program will take place starting on September 14th from 9 to 10 p.m. on Channel 31 Comcast. So please stay tuned. Starting on the 14th. Wednesday night from 9 to 10, we will start our fall series. As well as, we have our ongoing T-shirt Summer Fall Drive cap and T-shirt fundraiser going on. If you haven't purchased your cap and your T-shirt, please do so by contacting one of our members or going to our website, which is at www.mphinc.inc. Please contact us. And last but not least, we would like to inform you that we are now open for membership. We'd like to have your support. Come help us build our communities. And you can contact us again through our website. We'd love to have you. So these are the backdrops and the things we'd like to share with you today as relates to Missing Pages of History. And like always, we thank you for your support. Our next fundraiser raffle ticket drawing will take place also on the 22nd of October, which will be our third quarterly fundraising drive. So now, if you haven't purchased your tickets, please do so. As always, thank you for your support. So from our brief announcement, and right now, we'd like to begin our second for the day, Missing Pages of History. Like always, we have a little section that called Mini Facts. There are so much of our history that has been left out of the history book that it would take us for the next 30 years to complete our pages. And this is one direction we are working toward, filling in those missing pages. So what we'd like to do right now with our TV, with our radio analysts and contributors, and historian, Emmanuel, we'd like to bring you back. Welcome you to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you.
Welcome, Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel, you know, as always, there are so many things that have been left out of the history books as relates to our history. Why don't you just give our people something to think about as relates to some many black facts?
Well, what I think is very important. In 1860, the eve of the Civil War, free blacks, owned one half of 1% of the nation's wealth. In 2004, that's 12 years ago, a century later, blacks still own one half of 1% of the nation's wealth. I understand what I just said. This is where we are. It's amazing that a century later we had the same wealth we had in 1860. Oh, so I'm going to give you one more black fact that we should. From 1660 to 1860, white society invested $8 billion in black slaves, which is more than what they invested in all the other businesses and government enterprises together. But to show you how they accomplish this wealth and what they work hard at. They don't work hard at equality. They work hard at inequality. And they want to keep it like that. For those are two innocent black flies that we should know. But I'm going to give you one more before I... In 1844, Nakin B. Allen passed the Maine, the state of Maine, M-A-I-N-E. He passed the bar examination and became the first licensed black lawyer in the United States. How many people know that? How many lawyers know that? How many black lawyers know that? That is a notable first in many black backs. Back to you, host.
Okay, man, we'd like to thank you for your many black facts, and hope that the listening audience will use this information as a tool to move humanity forward in our communities. As we stated earlier today, being basically going to be geared around what dilemma is this on the presidential front. But do you, in order to get a proper perspective on this particular theme today, Emmanuel, I think one of the things we'll need to do is maybe talk to us a little bit about this whole question of your perspective on what is racism. Can you talk a little bit about what is racism? And then we can go to the theme so people get a better understanding that sometimes it seems like the more things change, the more remain the same. But what is racism from your perspective? What is the history of this particular battle, this particular struggle, Emmanuel?
Well, the racism is probably the most misused word in the English language because people don't know what racism is. Racism is the offspring of slavery. Is a group-based wealth and power concept. Understand what it just said, what it is. Is an offspring of slavery and is a group-based, which basically controls the wealth and the power concept. It is a competitive relationship between groups of people for the ownership and control of wealth. Break it down a little more for you. Again, it's a competitive relationship between groups of people for the ownership and control of wealth, power, and resources. Those are the three things that control racism: wealth, power, and resources. It is used by the wealthy and resource-holding groups to enslave, to marginalize, segregate, subordinate, dominate, and also to exclude a weaker group. See, racism and prejudice is not the same. It's synonymous. The prejudice, bias, bigotry, and discrimination, and has therefore become one of the most, I'm going to say it again, most misused words in the English language. You can be prejudiced, have biases, bigotry, discrimination, all these things. But again, that's not racist. See, we have to understand, again, racism is built on economic development and remain an economic concept through the 16th and 17th centuries. So how did it all begin? Well, nine European nations, nine, initiated a liberal race to colonize the resources of the newly, already discovered, but it said discovered, Western world using slave labor and material resources of Africa. Wow. If that is the definition. Using slave labor and material resources of Africa. And again, with racism is built on economic development and remain an economic concept through the 16th and 17th centuries. It started basically in the 15th century when these nine European nations initiated a little race to colonize. It was a race. Spain, France, all to try to colonize. The resources of the new discovered Western world using slave labor and material resources of Africa. But understand, when England, the world's biggest slave trading base, introduced the King James Version of the Bible, it was the introduction of the King James Version, 1604, 1609. When they redid basically the Bible and called the King James Version, and it encouraged the use of biblical scriptures to justify slavery. Oh my God. To justify racism. And it acquired the religious foundation. I'm going to do something on this one of probably people heard this for race. Religion and racism. That's where I'm coming from. So again, the world's biggest slave trading nation, which was England, introduced the King James Version of the Bible and encouraged the use of biblical scriptures to justify slavery. That's where racism acquired a religious foundation. Oh. During the early 1800s, you might call them pseudoscientists, they crafted a revolutionary theories linking plants, animals, insects, and humans in a descending order of development, or what they call evolution. Plants and animals and humans were ranked from the highest to the lowest level. By 1859, slavery had maldistributed nearly 100% of the nation's wealth and power in the Western Hemisphere. Resources, all this being controlled of all levels of government through the hands of European whites. I'm going to restate that. I think that's what we're missing the point, most of us do. By 1859, slavery had now distributed nearly 100% of the nation's wealth, power, resources, and control of all levels of government into the hands of European whites. Black slaves and blacks own and control nothing. With educated whites in control and impoverished and educated blacks on the bottom. Charles Darwin wrote a book called The Origin of the Species. That book basically proclaimed whites to be superior to blacks. The TV show will give us more on this subject of racism. I will get deeper and deeper when I start talking about the white skin and blood and policies required for racial identification. That's in birth certificates and all public documents became a staple. As I get into that, all this movement with Jim Crow started with no birth certificate required at one point. But this is all part of this racism. This is all part of this development. But Origin of the Species proclaimed white superior to blacks. back to you, host. I gave you a nice little spiel on that introduction to our TV show, September the 16th.
Okay, Emmanuel, with the backdrop of dealing with race, let's tie that into today's reality. As we look at the presidential race heating up, what dilemmas or issues is this on this presidential front, particularly given this issue of how race began to has been interjected into this particular presidential front? What's your analysis on that?
Well, this is getting ready to be the platform. Maybe for 2 weeks, maybe a week, week and a half. This was introduced quite some years ago by Donald Trump when they said the African-American president, President Obama, wasn't black and he wasn't this. He was a Muslim and he showed his birth certificate and all this stuff. This is stuff that, of course, the Republicans brought up, especially their candidate, Donald Trump. So it was introduced by the Democrats, introduced by the Republicans, not on both sides of the aisle, it was on one side of the aisle. We need to stop saying that. When something's introduced on one side of the aisle, it's not on both sides. It's one side. So when it was introduced by Donald Trump, that was one side. No one Democrat called for a birth certificate or anything, where he was born, or they challenged his race or anything. Just an American, a human being. We didn't introduce three-quarters of a human being. Blacks didn't introduce that. I wouldn't introduce it by Republicans again, that you're three-quarters of a human being. I'll get into that when I get to racism. But that's becoming the platform. Donald Trump came up with a statement that was very blunt. He said that Hillary Clinton was a bigot. I'd explain you, gave the category what bigot is not racism. Okay, bigotry is not racism. I just told you what it was. Okay. So again, to introduce that, narrow-minded people basically said, now we got a war on, basically, political war on racism or race or racist. Okay? Well, that's true to a certain point. It is. Because what you surround yourself with, people who basically do not generalize racism, but basically push it forward, like the Ku Klux Klan, they push it forward. White supremacist group, they push it further. So, again, when you surround yourself with these types of people, the dukes of the world, then you're around yourself with racism. Now, not all in case of focus, how much money is about wealth, economic power, and all of this. All right? But you're developing racial attitudes toward a group of people. And you're bending the rules. The rules, like I said, the political rules that should be basically not there. Now, we know that the race is decided mainly among minorities. We know that. Blacks have about 19 million votes. Hispanic has about 14 million. Others have about... So, when this happens, you're talking about 35 million votes. 65 million usually win. Half what it takes to win. So basically 60% is going toward the Democratic field. And over 90% of African Americans, they vote Democratic, even though what Donald Trump says. What you got to lose? You put us in the shape we're in today, the Republican Party. The people of Lincoln, they call. Well, look who put us there. The Herbert Hoovers. Look who put us there. Stone segregationists, the Governor Wallace, the Governor Fathers, look who put us there. All right? They don't want to deny it you. Democrats fighting with you to vote, walking alongside you to vote and getting killed. So we need to stop this craziness. We need to stop it. It's not on both sides of the aisle. It's on one side of the aisle. One side. They call Republicans. There are a bunch of liars always happen. From my great-grandfather to my grandfather to my father, they said, uh-uh. Watch that word re, R-E. That word re is a dangerous word. Anything that has re in front of it is really dangerous. From retard to repeat, that means you can't do it right the first time. You're not going to ever do it right. It's re. So I looked at that, and I've been looking at it for a long time. I'm a staunch Democrat, always will be. But the thing is that this platform is getting way out there. We're not talking about policies anymore. We're not talking about helping the country economically, basically. We're getting larger and larger. We depend on other nations to keep us stable. They're making our goods now, so we can afford them. We cannot make them here and afford them. We can't make a Volvo here for $4,500 and sell for $45,000. We can't do that here. Understand that. Things that we don't understand. Capitalism is based on economics and labor. What is economically sound to have what you got. And nobody here going to work for no 95 cents an hour, 45 cents an hour. Nobody in America is going to do that. So for you to afford something, a pair of shoes, clothing, appliances, got to be made somewhere else. Because the top 1% is going to get what they're going to get. They're going to make all the money. Donald Trump was saying, make America great again. When 12 of his products are made overseas. There is a TPP. That's crazy. You cannot make it here unless that happens. You got to have labor here, but you got cheap labor there so you can afford the labor over here. You cannot make a Cadillac for $4,000 or $5,000 here. It doesn't work. Why it's made in Mexico? Because of cheap labor. To keep for capitalism to exist, you have to have cheap labor. Everybody here is not gonna work for nothing. You can't make it here for $7.50 an hour. It doesn't work. Because it has too many levels for your money has to go to. For gas, for food, to get into work. So what are you bringing home? $2.50 an hour after you put your labor cost, your cost to go to work. And if you got a child, got a baby, you don't make nothing. You're working, you got to work two jobs to pay for the babysitter. So this is what this is all about. They don't understand the core of the middle class and the working class. They understand the middle class a little bit more. But the poor class, the working class, they don't understand it. And what they're doing, they basically brainwashing the 55, 65-year-old, 70-year-old people to vote for Donald Trump. Because that's the one. Those are the former segregationists, the Jim Crow people. They're the ones. Because they're talking that the basis. He's talking that basic language that they want to hear to make sure they keep you in your place. So race is still a factor. Donald Trump's people know it. So he's got the people who know how to deal with race. But he's German. Understand his ethnicity. He's German. One can even call him High Hitler. He's not going to change them stripes. He's even not going to change their stripes and be all black or all white. So people understand that, listeners. Understand what's going on. We know the Donald Trump type people. So instead of talking exactly about his businesses, let's stop talking about race. Anytime a person filed bankruptcy 6 times and had over 3,200 lawsuits, you got to be out of your mind to vote for somebody like that. He's a con artist. Let's talk about his conning. That's what he is. He's a German con artist. That's what he is. So we got to understand that. Yes.
Let me stop you right now. We have a few callers been waiting for callers who have views or comments. Please hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last one number. Just hit number 1. We have a caller 9289. Your comment or question for today's program, caller 9289. Welcome to Mr. Major's History.
Good evening. My only statement is that I feel that Donald Trump, I think he was told to go out there for the presidency just to make everything from the beginning look bad, and that's why they allowed him to say and do the things that he do. I think all this was just a part because they really had no one else that would be willing to do to go out there and, in a sense, make themselves look like a fool with their views on different items.
Thank you, caller, for your comments. Let's try this other caller that's been waiting patiently for a while. Do we have caller 8875? Caller 8875, you have a question or comment, please? Caller 8875. Okay. I guess my caller won't listen. Okay, Emmanuel. The last caller made a statement that maybe Donald Trump playing the role of wanting to take the lead in terms of wanting to try to put highlight on the negative things that has been going on as relates to the so-called, I guess, the Democratic Party, etc. What do you think make up that particular comment or observation?
No, I think he has to cross the line to get, well, you look at the numbers when you have Barack Obama basically sort of showed the country exactly how the elected works and how a national election works. The thing was what we need to do to make that work and for them to win. Well, working and winning is two. Donald Trump basically is working but not working to win. Because for you to win the election today and time now, for the demographics are changing, you have to get the minority vote. And that's a lot of minorities, the Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, African Americans, and you also got the millennials. So again, he's working against that norm. Well, the thing is that how do you appease your base? Or you might say the Tea Party. How do you pace your base? That's where he's going. The cities he's going to, basically, 90% of them is basically over 90% European Americans live there, and mainly elderly. He goes to Florida, he goes where the older people, are. When he goes there, they don't basically tell him where he's going. He's going to Florida. What city is he going to? Well, they later on might tell you what city. He's in Tallahassee. No, he's in places where African Americans are not normally there. He's going to Fort Lauderdale, which is basically 90% white. You want to call European American. So he goes to places where his base rallies for him. Look at the crowd when they show him. Look at the faces behind him. They're not young. They're older people who still got those beliefs, who still grab their pocketbook when they're in the elevator. Like somebody trying to rob you. You done robbed everybody. You have a guilty conscience. That's why you grab your pocketbook. You done robbed everybody else.
So okay, Emmanuel, on that point, we're going to have to stop. We got less than 1 minute. We just want to let our listening audience know that you've been listening to Missing Page of History. We'll come on by weekly. Our next program will be September the 10th. We'd like to remind y'all, please, if you ever got your cap in, your cap and T-shirt, please call a member. Also, our upcoming live program show will be September the 14th from 9 to 10. We thank you for all the support that you have given us, but go and check out our website at www.mphinc.org. We'll be on 10. We'd like to thank you for allowing us to come in this evening to speak to you. This is Missing Pages of History, and let's continue to fill in our missing pages. We thank you for your support.